coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. Tomorrow, the 6th, is going to be historic. It's going to be epic. It's going to be biblical. Biblical does not always mean nice either. I want to welcome everyone to today's show. With me, of course, is my co-host, my colleague, Randy Taylor. You can reach him, by the way, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Again, HagmanReport.com, that's our home base. Please, folks, bookmark HagmanReport.com. Please subscribe to our Rumble channel, okay? We're on Rumble when we're on Brighteon. Now, those are two free speech platforms, primarily Rumble and Brighteon. Please, I ask of you, because if we are to starve the beast, if we are to starve these censors out there, we need to operate under a free speech platform, and that is Rumble. And if we don't get the support there, if we don't have the 225,000 subscribers until YouTube hacked off a 50,000 on the purge weekend for some unknown reason, but still 175,000 there. Just move on over to Rumble. I ask that you do that. And you know, subscribe as you would YouTube. Subscribe to Rumble and please subscribe to the Hagman Report on Rumble, because the word needs to get out. We're pushing out a lot of good information, a lot of firsthand information. And this is not friend of a friend information. This is firsthand information that we're getting, from the ground and from associates. And I've got to tell you something, okay, because the firsthand information, you've got to be very careful who you listen to now, because we are in a war, the information war. It's incredible. We are fighting every day, misinformation, disinformation. Oh, the case is hopeless. Oh, everything is hopeless. Oh, it's good. Folks, you've got to just take a deep breath, take a step back, and understand that the processes in exposing the election fraud, the electoral fraud, the voter fraud, they are being exhausted. And those people who are on the Patreon call with the Hagman Report supporters, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart on Sunday. I think Randy said it best. The president is attempting to exhaust all of the legal avenues, and that involves the judicial avenues, all of the and now the congressional avenues before he makes any dramatic or even draconian style moves, if that's what you might think the imposition of the Insurrection Act could be. But clearly we have found foreign interference in the elections. Now, that's not to say you have, let me explain this. There was coordination at various levels, from the county level or precinct level, all the way up to the bigger and the more inclusive choke point levels of foreign interference. Right now, And Randy Taylor does not even know this. I haven't told him yet, but I was given a MP3 file of a covert recording that I'm trying to authenticate right now. I'm trying to authenticate this recording that talks about how at the foreign, what satellites were used in the changing of the votes, and how and who and where. And it wasn't in country. It was not in the United States. It was outside of the United States. So anyway, Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Just flustered and busy as all get out, but you know the feeling. It's just, yeah. you know, we're following a lot of information, and tomorrow, as I open with, tomorrow is going to be a very historic day in Washington. I want to open with this, though. This morning, this is troubling, but not for the reason you might think. This is troubling because of the Randy, I'll explain it this way. Imagine being in a tense standoff, like a SWAT team scenario, you know, and hostages and people and police, and some, you know, somebody accidentally fires a gun. Okay. You know, negligent discharge. That's not good. Okay. So we want to avoid that in metaphorically speaking, I guess, if you're, you know what I mean? You don't want any negligent discharges in a very tense situation.
No.
Okay. And you know what I'm talking about. And then law enforcement knows what I'm talking about. You're out there and all of a sudden, bang, you know, where the hell did that come from? And before you know it, you know, everybody's shooting at everybody else. And that's just not a good situation in wartime or whatever. But folks, here is a segment from Bannon's War Room today. This is based off of a roll call. .com story. And this is kind of, to me, this could serve as like a negligent discharge. I'm not saying it is, but to drill down into this and to figure out what the hell's going on. This stuff like this is what we face every day. Okay. So let's go ahead and roll that first clip and check this out.
Roll call, which is one of the best sources in town, up there at the Hill and Roll Call magazine. I want to take a deep breath. At 10:08, I want to reread that, Jack Maxey. What do they say?
Iowa Senator Charles E. Grassley, the Senate President pro tempore, says he and not Vice President Mike Pence will preside over the certification of Electoral College votes since we, quote, don't expect him to be there. Grassley said he will listen to the debate and that it, quote, would be really wrong for me to say I have made my mind up.
Okay, here's the buried lead. The buried lead's at 10:08. The buried lead is we don't expect him to be there. We don't expect him to be there. And Charles Grassley, and you know, that office, as dignified as Senator Grassley is not telling a roll call like that unless they talked about it beforehand. Now, that's not the complete story, right? Although Jack Maxey wanted to give the punchline, we held him back. Okay, this is the theater of drama, right? Okay. Now, Raheem Kassam, that's not actually the entire story, is it, sir?
That's correct. At 10:19 a.m., that would be
11 minutes later.
That's correct. Nicholas Fandos, who is the congressional correspondent for the New York Times, tweets, a Grassley spokesman clarifies that the senator does not, quote, have any indication Pence won't be present, end quote. Grassley, he said, was trying to explain that as president pro tempore of the Senate, he would fill the chair if Pence does not show or steps out for a break.
Buried lead. If Pence does not show or steps off the floor. Now, how did that get circulated? Okay, just listen. All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. Just understand this. All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. It's going to be moving. It's going to be quick. You got to get into Raheem's Twitter feed. You got to get into Posobiec's Twitter feed. There's going to be many moving pieces. Remember, it's the fog of war. Just keep focused on what's important.
I should point out, Eric the Tech and I were talking during that clip, and you saw Jack Posobiec in the upper left. Eric the Tech and myself, we had dinner at the Trump Hotel with Jack Posobiec and his lovely bride, his wife, not too long ago. And, you know, he's a friend of the program, a friend of ours, and he's right in the thick of this. So I'm just name-dropping for a reason. You know, people say, well, where are your sources? You get it? Okay, now, hold that thought, because, again, remember the fog of war. Can we play? Do we have the second clip up or no? The one that's right below that 11 minutes later? Okay, can we play that? We'll play them back to back and go ahead.
When they're at the Hill at 10:08 with something that well formed, and then 11 minutes later they're walking it back to the New York Times, right? That shows you the kind of conflict behind the scenes. So there's a lot of moving pieces. Okay, one of the I want you to jump in.
There's several buried leads in here that should set massive alarm bells ringing. And by the way, I just want to bring back.
By the way, my alarm bell, when Jack read me the first one, my alarm bell was already off.
But I just want to remind people who's been sitting here saying light Pence up for the last couple of weeks, right? That would be Raheem Kassam. And here's the
The President of the United States took your advice last night. I wrote a line in there.
Yeah, that's all right. And yours. Hold the line. Here's the biggest buried lead. Here's how you know what that roll call thing, what they said, was actually from the mouth of Chuck Grassley. And now his spokesmen are trying to clean it up because they gave away what they planned to do. Here's how you know. Only an 87-year-old senator still goes and briefs roll call.
Yeah, exactly. They're relevant. The things are relevant, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. A guy that's, because they're not exactly...
You don't pick up the phone.
It's not Politico. It's not...
It's Axios. Like,
right, it's not Axios.
Or
right.
The punch bowl.
He doesn't know who Jonathan Swan is, right?
Right.
And roll call put it in quotations.
Yes,
they have not removed it.
That means a quote. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
But roll call was big when Chuck Grassley was big.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, Chuck Grassley thinks he may be big tomorrow
roll call has now added the clarification to theirs, so they must have called roll call as fast as possible.
Okay, I want to make sure. By the way, roll call's not taking something that explosive that's going to change markets. We want to see what the market is going to change markets. I don't think they're not taking that quote from a grundoon.
Right.
Okay, that's a senior person. Okay.
All right. This is what we're dealing with right now. There is a lot of stuff happening at the Capitol. There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. Senator who is filing the objection, who signed on, Josh Hawley, suddenly characterized what he's doing. He's objecting only to Pennsylvania, or that's what's being stated. Ted Cruz is just kind of, I don't want to say waffling, but here's, and I'm going to turn this over to Randy. Here's the deal. Okay. What we need to do is we need to keep the pressure on. We need the phone calls. Randy Taylor, myself, the Hagman Report, we have approximately, and we're supporting or acting in a support capacity, more appropriately stated, about 120 or so, people going to Washington. Just spoke with a small group yesterday, going to Washington. Very surgical, and Randy Taylor likes surgical type of things. Going to Washington, spoke to a small group yesterday. So we have things going on. So we have to be, so tomorrow, and I'm going to say this and then turn it over to you, Randy. Tomorrow we're going to be hitting with updates throughout the day. So please, 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 please check HagmanReport.com. We are not on YouTube. We're not going to go back to YouTube. It would be so easy for us to do, but we're not going to do that. HagmanReport.com. Randy, what do you think of all this?
I don't even know what to say. It's all bets are off. Everything's on the table. Bannon, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most informed people in the Beltway. And even he's not 100% for sure what's going to happen.
When I made a call earlier, it was about the call lasted about 7-8 seconds.
Yeah.
The person I called, I'm not going to name drop, just said, I don't know what the hell's going on. And then click, you know, hung up.
That's where we're at. Everybody has a prediction, you know, and I stay away from predictions as much as I can because I don't want egg on my face.
Yeah.
Seriously. But everybody, every host that's on, every guest that's on has a prediction. Everybody, anything you tune into has a prediction and they're all viable. That's the thing. It's a complete toss up. We don't know. Tomorrow, so many questions will be answered. I just don't even know. I I don't think there's enough of the legislative houses to, you know, real to change anything as far as support. But yeah, once again, and Doug and I were talking about this, I think it was yesterday, not everybody's showing their cards. Just because they've even said that, oh, I'm not going to object, that doesn't mean anything. Because right now it'd be stupid to say, I'm going to object. Really. If I was going to object, I wouldn't tell you. I would act like I wasn't going to, because I don't want people at my house, you know, threatening my wife and my baby and painting crap on my garage door and sticking pig's heads in my driveway. And all. Yeah, I don't need that.
That was me, by the way.
Well, I know.
Okay.
But...
Sorry about that. I'm just joking, people.
Leave some pie or something. but I just think that a lot of people are playing their cards very close to their chest.
Yep.
We don't know what's going on. You say, well, Pence isn't going to be there. Pence is going to be there. Nobody really knows until he either walks out on stage or he doesn't. We just don't know. I think Trump knows. I think that Trump and Pence have talked. I think that there's a sheet of music behind the scenes that obviously we're not privy to. And I don't want to, we shouldn't be privy to it. This should be, if it's a battle, a well-coordinated attack isn't advertised. Plain and simple.
You make a good point, but people don't like that. You make a good point.
But if you don't prep the enemy, then the enemy can't prep. You see what I'm saying? If you Correct. Don't tell them anything.
Yeah.
So why would you tell them? I would have them right now, and exactly what's going on right now. They're calling everybody they know trying to get information, because I bet you the left knows about what we know, which is squat.
Right.
You know, and the problem in the Trump administration and in the White House is leaks. You can't trust anybody.
That's true.
So if I was the president, I'd be telling four or five different stories. Seriously, I wouldn't be telling anybody the truth as far as what the plan is, what the game plan is. Absolutely not. When in a baseball game, it isn't until the catcher drops his fingers that the pitcher knows what they're doing.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And same thing in a football game. What do? When they're discussing plays and they're on their radio, they're like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because you got lip readers out there.
Yes.
I mean, yep. When before the D-Day invasion, we didn't, you know, call up Berlin and say, hey, here's our plans.
No, and everything was set up at Calais. The Germans thought that,
right. And so what do you do? Then I firmly believe in this is pump disinformation.
Yeah, which, right. And I guess if you and I were privy to everything.
And feed it to the mainstream media and let them do the work for you. You know, make it look like it's desperate measures, and the mainstream media will jump all over. They're already all over it.
Yeah,
Everything I heard today, and this is really, I want to almost make it a policy that when someone says these words, just reach over and smack them. If you're out in public, if you're standing next to a newscaster, just reach over and smack them when they use the words far right Trump supporters. I am so tired of hearing that.
I can be on board with that.
Trump supporters. I'm done with it.
Well, it's not really
conservatives. How about patriots?
Yes, because this is not really about President Trump. This is bigger than he admitted it last night at his rally. This is about saving our country from communism.
Yes, this is not about President Trump. Hasn't been. President Trump is the vehicle. He's the vehicle for the left. He's the vehicle for the right. That's all President Trump is. He's the guy that he's the face man. He's the front. And unfortunately, he's the target. But this is way bigger than President Trump. This is about the United States. This is about the Constitution. This is about every last citizen of the United States, left or right. because we're getting into a situation where we're going to have to protect the left from themselves. And I look at these people and I'm, you know, just like the celebrities and the Stephen Kings and these people that hate the president so much that they're willing to turn the country over to communists just to defy him. When your hatred overrides logic, there's something wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with you. And we're in the middle of that right now. Hatred is overriding logic. And that's a really dangerous place to be. And we're there. We're way into there. And as far as tomorrow, look, I think in the end, this is all going to work out for the country and for God's glory. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to get there. There's a couple options. One is the option that everybody's talking about with the Pence and the legislators and this and that and the Electoral College and blah, blah, blah. And then the other one is the Insurrection Act. And I think that I think it's a case of Donald Trump, President Trump, has to see what's going to happen tomorrow. And let's say, because you got a couple things happening right now, is the election going on right now in Georgia. Okay.
The runoff today, right?
That is a big thing within itself because of the power play in Washington and who it gives the power to as far as majorities, you know, in the houses. That's big. And then he has to look at, okay, what happens? Does the Electoral College, is this all changed around to where he's president? And if all of this fails, and it fails due to the fraud, then we have the Insurrection Act. And I honestly think that it may well boil down to the Insurrection Act. The cool part is, if he went with the Insurrection Act, he could do it tomorrow. And guess what? Everybody's right there that he needs to grab.
That's, and you make a very good point about that.
That's a target-rich environment tomorrow.
And we're not talking about the supporters of freedom, the supporters of our republic. We're talking about the congressional people and
yes,
you know,
yes,
that's what we're talking about.
You got a bunch of them right there that absolutely, and just going back to the Russia collusion thing and peddling that.
Yep.
You know, Adam Schiff could be arrested for that. I'm serious. And lying. Did he lie? Yeah. Swalwell. But I mean, you have crimes that were committed and these guys got away with it. And the way they got away with it is they say, well, we weren't under oath. Well, you know what? People sitting in the back room of an abandoned house talking about murdering somebody aren't under oath either, but they are part of a conspiracy and they can be charged and they can be convicted. So welcome to the real world, Swalwell. Welcome to the real world, Adam Schiff. I honestly would love to see these people in front of military tribunals.
And
absolutely.
You know, and I think the American people or the majority of American people would be behind that. People say that this country is evenly divided. I don't believe it is.
No.
I believe we have more patriots, more people who care about the Constitution than that vocal minority. And by minority, it may not be that much of a minority, but still a minority, at least outside of the political world. Let me hit you with this because I know your time is limited. You've got some scheduling issues and I want to give you as much time as possible, but I don't know whether you caught yesterday, because of your scheduling, what you were doing. It doesn't matter. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give people the 50,000 foot view. And, that involves a Jim Caviezel, talk he gave not too long ago. It's 2 minutes long. Did you want to see that?
Yeah. The one that started your show yesterday.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah. Yes. Just for the Patriots. Would you mind if I reran that?
Wow. Please. I thought it was pretty powerful.
Okay. So for everyone out there, I started this show yesterday with this video clip. I think this is perhaps one of the most important pieces of information out there. Go ahead.
I live very close to the Ronald Reagan Library. And here's a man, an extraordinary story. I put him up there with Abe Lincoln. He had to fight against one of the greatest evils there ever was that killed over 150 million people. If we put Mao, 60 million. Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain. Our bosses, our leaders collaborated with evil. They chumped up this word called detente, the coexistence of communism and capitalism, and yet freedom was losing. We were losing our liberty. We were losing. Reagan said that detente, isn't that what a farmer does with his turkey all year long until Thanksgiving Day? What do we say to our brothers and sisters now caught behind the Iron Curtain? Give up your dreams of freedom now, because in order to save our own skins, we're just too willing to make a deal with your slave masters? Do you and I have the courage to say there is a price we will not pay? There is a point beyond which evil must not advance. He would go on to say that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth. I will sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. And that is the freedom that I wish for you. Set yourselves apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. You aren't made to fit in. You are born to stand out. God bless you.
Pretty powerful, I think. I think that really summarizes this moment in time, this moment in history. Your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Well, Reagan was a great man. I had a tag on my email for about 10 years. That's one of his most famous quotes, is freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. That was from Ronald Reagan. And I think that men like Ronald Reagan, they knew who the enemy was. The problem today is that the enemy's mixed amongst us. The problem today is because of the liberal mindset, we've allowed this garbage to become intermingled in our politics, in our universities, in our places of worship, even.
Yes.
Being a patriot, and you're going to have to understand this, and this is one of the hardest things, I guess. Being a patriot and doing what's possibly going to need to be done is going to make you a criminal. I hate to say that.
Yes.
And let me finish. When I say that, I look back at our founding fathers. Every time I get into any kind of deep thought, I get a little discouraged. I get a little confused. I get a little distraught. Get a little depressed. I go back and I look at our founding fathers. And I look at the sacrifices that they made when they decided to speak up and sign a piece of paper called the Declaration of Independence. The moment they signed that paper, they put a price on their heads.
Very true.
And that's a big step. That's a big step for people. Some people say they'll do it, but are they willing to do it? Are you willing to sacrifice everything you have? Your personal freedom, your life, your family's lives, your home, your job, truth be known, most people wouldn't. Because they got this false sense of security in worldly things. I look at my offspring and I think, one day I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here to protect. I'm not going to be here to guide. I can't jump in front of someone wishing them harm. So whatever's going to be done has to be done in my lifetime. Because I can't leave this mess for them.
Nor they should deserve, we.
Yeah. They deserve better. My parents didn't leave me this mess.
No.
This mess developed during my lifetime. And I'm just absolutely sick and tired of these liberal left Democrats. And I'm not calling them like they are. These people are inspired by Satan. Not all of them. But the ones that are crashing the country, the ones that are trying to pilot us into the ground, the ones that are selling us out to foreign powers. Okay. I'm not talking about my aunt who's a Democrat.
Okay? Right. Right.
Let's be clear on that. All right. There's a far left and then there's the middle left. The middle left is salvageable. Far left is not. And there's only a far right in response to a far left. So when people want to start throwing words around about the far left and far right, yes, there is a far right. We had to. You didn't lose any choice. And we're going to be the ones that have to clean up this mess.
And the far right, you could equate with the founders, I guess.
Absolutely, because yeah. they were labeled as criminals. There was immediately a price on their heads.
Yep.
They lost. Think of, if you look it up, and I'd prefer you do it in a book and not on Google, but look up. In fact, I'm going to sit down and write an article here for the website about the cost of freedom, because people really just don't grab it. They don't grasp it. And this garbage on the left that calls themselves patriots and all, they're destroying the country. With the direction that they want to take the country is not a godly direction. It's not a wise direction. It's not a politically sound direction. And from a humanity standpoint, it's a death direction. It's a direction of death. There's no surviving it. I don't understand people that look around at these countries like Russia, and Russia has changed a lot. I'll give them credit. But I'm talking the old USSR.
That's right.
China. Just recently, Venezuela.
Of course.
Why do they think that bringing it here, somehow it's going to be different? I don't understand. It's like, well, look, God, I saw cancer killed Uncle Bill and Aunt Rosie and Cousin John. But if I get it, yeah, that'll be fine. That's what you're looking at here. Yep. These people like AOC and the squad, these people are vermin. Vermin. If this was the 1940s, they wouldn't be running their yaps. They wouldn't even be in existence.
Not for long. I mean, he's studied that period in history.
We have slid so far down the slippery slope to allow that human garbage to be in our legislative houses. Are you kidding me? I want tomorrow to be peaceful, but if we have to go back to Washington, D.C., I want to go straight to Congress and straight to Capitol Hill and pull that garbage out of their offices and make them accountable. Because I'll tell you what, they're evil. There's man's law and there's God's law. And they're breaking God's law.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because people are looking, I've gotten emails and I've gotten messages. People are looking at tomorrow as if things are going to be resolved tomorrow. don't count on things being resolved tomorrow.
Tomorrow is the Declaration of Independence.
That's right. That's okay. Tomorrow's a statement.
Thank you. And that's exactly what it needs to be. They need to look out their windows and say, well, I'm glad these people aren't armed.
This time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I wanted to sit there and I wanted to picture every one of them out there armed to the teeth and pissed off and not leaving until things are settled. And they don't have all day. That's what I want these politicians to see. And I want both sides to see it. I'm tired of the garbage that runs this country. I'm sick and tired of it. And everybody else that I know that's worth a damn as a human being is sick and tired of it. It's something that has to be done. And tomorrow we're giving, you know how Donald Trump's going to exhaust all his options?
Yep.
We're exhausting ours.
And that's a very important point to make.
Please take note.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people talk about the enemy within and the fight that President Trump, I mean, he's fighting for us. Let's make this clear. He's not fighting for another 4 years of, you know,
abuse.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, a spousal abuse situation. He's not fighting for that. He's fighting for us and he's fighting for the country. And, I don't want to hear one iota, one sentence, one, well, he's controlled opposition. He's shut up because, you know, he doesn't need that. Very few people give up their wealth for the sake of our country, but we have a whole lot of people who give up our country for the sake of their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, real quick, I just want to tell you, and a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, President Trump spoke on behalf of Kelly Loeffler, the Senate up for re-election in Georgia today. And I wonder how many people know that it was in November 12th of this year, President Trump signed an executive order that prohibits American companies and individuals from owning shares in any of a list of 31 Chinese companies. Okay. And these Chinese companies that enable the Chinese PLA, the People's Liberation Army. And this is to take effect on January 11th of 2020. Hold on for the punchline here. Specifically, too, I just mentioned China Mobile, China Telecom, and so on. As President Trump...
China Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah. Go figure. But as President Trump was talking and supporting Kelly Loeffler. Kelly Loeffler's husband, I wonder how many people know Jeff Sprecher. He's the head of the New York Stock Exchange, known as the owner of the New York Stock Exchange. He said, you know what? Your executive order, we're not going to abide by that. We're not going to delist. The New York Stock Exchange will not delist those 31 or any part of the 31 Chinese companies. F you. Now think about how deep this rot is. Let that sink in for a second. Loeffler, her husband's Jeff Sprecher, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Owns the New York Stock Exchange and giving the middle finger to President Trump saying, you know what? New York Stock Exchange, we're not going to delist these Chinese Communist Party companies.
How deep? And that's the thing. You know, we're all like, you know, yay Loeffler. At the same time, we're over here with this guy, her husband, her spouse. I don't get any of it. I don't understand of it. I don't get it. I never understood, Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. I love her. I love Kellyanne Conway, but that slug she's married to. Yeah. How does she go home and look at this pig every night? And especially the things that he says about the man that she works her ass off for. I don't get these couples that are like that. So to me, that's more of the dog and pony show. Eric, I just sent you a picture. It just came in your email. And that picture, I'm going to ask Eric to put that up.
Okay.
That picture, when you want to think about Donald Trump, this is the picture you need to think about. This is the picture I keep on my phone. Because It really describes the man without words even being said. It describes what that man is doing. And it's that picture is worth 1,000 words.
This is as large as Eric can make it. But there he is. Yeah.
There he is, all alone in the Oval Office.
Yep.
By himself, carrying the weight of not just the United States. He's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. The only way a man can do that is with God's help.
Boy, that's true.
Look at that. I wish I could step in there and help him and take some of that weight from him. But I look at that picture. I keep it on my phone. If that picture doesn't describe everything to you about President Trump, the United States, the Constitution, God, and the war we're in against evil, I don't have anything else for you. But anyway, I just wanted to share that picture with you. That picture that picture means a lot to me. It's meant a lot to me since the first time I saw it. Because they're not after him.
No.
They're after us, man. He just happens to be something in the way. He's a symbol of our patriotic resistance to this evil that is just absolutely overcoming this country. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to put an end to this. Okay, I don't intend to be having this. We got to put an end to this discussion 3 years from now.
Nope.
Okay, I'm just so we're straight. We're going to put an end to it. Now, I'm glad that Biden's disassembling his inaugural parade. Okay. He needs to go and throw himself at the mercy of whoever it is he needs to throw himself at the mercy of. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, and the more you dig, Harris, I don't think she's qualified legally to be in the position she's in.
She's not constitutionally eligible. No.
That's what I'm saying. So what happened? Because she's black? Is that what it is? Because we went down this road with Obama. Oh God, we don't want to open the birther can again. Obama shouldn't have been president.
That's correct.
Okay. That's black Kenyan sack of crap. Okay. But somehow another evil precedent was made and it's now accepted in the United States. This has got to stop. This has to stop. This has to be over. People that are non-citizens like Ted Lieu. I don't care. Welcome from Taiwan. Open a Chinese restaurant or something. I don't care. Open a 7-Eleven, but I don't want you in Congress.
Ilhan Omar.
Don't even get me started on that one. Oh, you know, she makes me sick.
And you know, I want to toss this out there. We followed and investigated the Awan brothers back a couple of years ago when they were relevant, the Awan brothers. And folks, I don't know how many people remember that, but there is Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, Imran Awan. That has relevance to today. And I just want to toss it out there because it's in the same vein as what you're talking about. How this infiltration has occurred
under Obama and really primarily under Obama.
Yes.
A lot of security protocol was thrown right out the window when Obama, that's one of the, and you know, this one of the reasons I got out of the business was because of Obama and what we were seeing going on at Department of Justice and it just various layers in the government to where suddenly Mr. Patriot, Randy Taylor, who's been pouring time and money and effort and doing things that the FBI couldn't do. We could have entire weeks of shows about things that I know I did for the country, that Doug did for the country. And then suddenly I was the bad guy. You know, I mean, this Muslim lawyer in DHS says, in Department of Justice says, well, the only way he could know this is if he's one of Al Qaeda. Like, do I look or sound Al Qaeda to you, you jackass? I just, it always, and then I realized how dangerous a position I was in suddenly. And the person that was my contact there was so freaked out, was like, please, we can't ever talk again. And it was, you know, this is a solid contact.
And think about that.
You stop and think, yeah, think about that. Think about the chills that ran up my arms. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, man, if I just got labeled as that. And then you go a step further, and Doug can tell you, I'm Mr. Database. I've got towers and towers and towers and towers. No, not at my house, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. But I have this stuff in secure locations. There's every video I think that Al Qaeda ever put out and any of their subsidiary groups, I have copies of. There wasn't a beheading in Iraq that I don't have live or that I don't have a copy of it while it was happening. No, I mean, I was in tune. I was one of them. Undercover.
Yep.
Okay. Undercover. All right. And they freely shared information. If I missed something, they emailed it to me. I mean, that's how deep I was in with these people and had infiltrated. I mean, it took years to get to that level. And then for the DOJ, oh, he's one of them. Oh, man. These got real scary real fast. And when I go underground, I go underground. I don't play. I vanish, and that's exactly what I did. I have a family to think about. I've been playing around with these clowns. And at that point, the other reason that made me leave was I looked at, like, when I was on at work under Bush and different presidents, if I knew of a plot to kill them or to harm them, I would turn it into Secret Service or whatever. And I'll just say this from the soul. It's not a crime. But when I looked at Obama and I thought, if I ran into something that was a threat against Obama, would I call it in? I can't believe I just said that.
No, and he's not wrong. I mean,
we're talking, I'm a Christian, but I had to weigh that.
Yep.
Was I loyal to the president of the United States? And I couldn't say that I was. So I shut everything down. And you asked Doug, I overnight, done. Shut it down.
Yeah.
Banished.
I actually remember that day very well. And the exact circumstances around it. And I can't blame you. And I, you know, folks, and this is where we're at today, too, to some extent. By the way, I received a communication saying that in 15 days that they were coming after Jones, shutting. They want to shut Jones down day one. They're day one. In other words, in their mind, day after the first day of a Biden faux presidency, but they're coming after Jones, they're coming after us, they're coming after another five people I've been in contact with. Seven people they mentioned.
Pack a lunch is going to be an all day job.
The reason I didn't mention that to name droppers, say, you know, oh boy, you know, I mentioned that because These people are. I mean, they're sick, man. I gotta tell you, they're sick.
They're communists. This is the way. That's SOP for communism.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut down the opposition. Murder the opposition. I mean, I don't want to. I like you, Doug, but I don't want to spend time in a FEMA camp with you.
Yeah, I'm not bunking with you, brother.
I got better things to do, bro.
That's right. which goes back to your point. You know, at some point, we are going to be, and again, this isn't, folks, please, tomorrow is critical. And I pray to God that these people do the right thing.
We need to feel the prayer today and tonight and tomorrow. We need to be able to literally that I'm sitting here and I can feel it.
Absolutely.
Because I've had times before, like after 9/11, I could feel the people. I could feel things.
Yep.
And I want to feel that disturbance in the force that they talked about in the movie. Okay.
The scalar waves of prayer, which is, it's a thing, you know? So, yes.
We need that, man. We need this God. God is waiting for us to ask for his help.
Yes.
And let's do it and put on that whole armor of God. And if we got to go to battle, we go to battle, and that's just the end of it. And that's it. And that's fine, because I know where I'm going. I have reservations. I just don't have an exact date on my reservations. They're open.
Yeah. I don't know if either one of us know what, you know, well, I know that we don't know what our expiration date is, but yeah, I feel too that, you know, the reservations are in, but you know, we've got work to do between now and then, and hopefully, yep. Hopefully
let's exhaust those options, yeah. People. Let's do it. Yeah.
Now, we have about 6 minutes left or so, before the break, top of the hour break. What would you, now again, we have, just so people know, and we're going to be hitting this hard tomorrow, Randy Taylor, myself, giving you updates, but throughout the day too. Okay. So just so people know, you're not going to have to wait until 7 o'clock or whatever throughout the day. We have about 120 or so people that we're acting as a support mechanism for. But Randy, what advice, as people leave today to go to Washington, as they're driving down the road, perhaps listening to this show, any words of wisdom for the people who are, because I know at least the 100 or so, at least 100 or so are listening to this right now. What do you want to say to those people who are traveling on the road right now to D.C.?
Well, first of all, we're with you in spirit. I'd be with you, except my physical condition would slow you down. I would say this, be situationally aware. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Remember, good guys look like bad guys and bad guys look like good guys. Okay. You're going into a situation where nobody's wearing uniforms. You don't know who's who. Be smart. Be careful. Sometimes the smart thing to do is, when a situation is to split, however, if confronted and, you know, so you have to use your hands or you have to use force. It's, remember, the good rule is force plus one. I know they didn't say anything about this one, but I wouldn't be in the center of the street. I'd be watching the sides of the street and looking to where in seconds you can take cover. Because if somebody's fires tear gas or somebody in the opposition or somebody on a rooftop with a rifle or something, there's going to be trouble. Okay. The patriots, I'm sure, will handle themselves honorably, but it's going to be the other guys, because their job is to make you look bad. Look what they're doing now. They went to Josh Hawley's house and terrorized his family last night. If I were in charge of anything, I would be these 12 or 16 or people that we know are going to object to the Electoral College. I would dispatch patriots to their homes to protect them. That's just what I would do, because obviously the police aren't going to do the job.
We have volunteers, in fact, numerous volunteers that have made offers to.
I would do it. I would dispatch them to the homes, and that way when Antifa shows up, just kick the living crap out of them. Okay. Yep. Don't sit there and chant back and forth and all. Level them. Okay. Protect the people that are protecting us. All right.
That's right.
They're literally putting their lives on the line by raising their hands saying we're going to object to the Electoral College, because there's people on the left that are so angry they are ready to kill people. This is not a joke. Okay. But listen, people, be careful while you're out there. Always have an escape route. Always have an exit strategy. I don't care where you're at. And your exit strategy is continually moving. If you're walking down a street, anybody that's operated in an urban environment, in any type of combat or warfare, your exit strategy is constantly changing. Be smart. Don't be distracted. Be smart. Okay, pay attention to where you are, who's around you, the whole nine yards. And exit strategy is going to be really important, because here you don't know who the good guys and bad guys are. Welcome to my world 10 years ago. I just don't know who's who anymore.
And you know, that is a very dangerous environment when you could be providing information to someone who's turning around and providing that information to the very people you got the information from. And, you know, a huge target on your back. And I'll tell you what, Randy Taylor has lived it. I've lived it. We've both, have been admonished by, the White Hats and the FBI saying, you know what, how's your security? We can't provide it for you, but you better get some.
Yep.
And, now it's coming around to that. The enemy is a little bit different today. In fact, a little bit more insidious. So, just telling you. Yeah, and very good advice to the people traveling right now. So,
yeah, be smart.
Be smart. And we're, Randy and I are going to be providing updates throughout the day tomorrow. And he's given up his time. He could be doing a lot of other things right now.
We got a lot. Yeah, I've got a lot of personal stuff I'll ask him about there. Please keep my brother in your prayers.
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay, thanks. He's on. He's my. Yeah. I'll go ahead and bring it up. My brother's on death's door.
Right.
He's younger than me by about 10 years. I'm just, please pray for him. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get into what the situation is and all its health. I'll say that much, but that power of prayer, not just for the country, if you'd please say it for my brother. Please, please, a prayer for my brother. He's got a wife and three kids, and he's on death's door.
Do you want to share his first name only?
Or no.
Okay. No. All right. Because some people, I've gotten,
just Randy Taylor's brother, okay?
That's
for security,
okay.
For security reasons.
All right. And, all right.
I don't want anybody that would want to reach out and touch me to reach out and touch somebody that I love.
No, and that's fine. That's fine. A lot of people say, well, you know, let me know his first name. So that's fine. Randy Taylor's brother. And folks, it is a dire situation. And I've been praying. My wife's been praying. And everyone here at the studio. And I ask that you pray for his brother. And pray for Randy Taylor and his family as well, because you've got no idea what's going on.
We ain't making any friends, let me tell you.
That's very true. And it's a very, very critical situation in many respects. Randy, I want to thank you for being my friend and being on our side. And I'm glad you're on our side. Believe me, I wouldn't want you on the other side. And,
we're going to get through it, brother.
We are. We are. And again, thanks for speaking to those people on their way to D.C. right now. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you later. Talk to you tomorrow. Folks, Randy Taylor, Hagmann Report. And by the way, reach out and send him an email, randytaylor@hagmannreport.com. Let him know that you appreciate him and what he's doing. And if you have anything to say to me or us, studio@hagmannreport.com. Two N's on Hagmann. Don't forget to visit HagmannReport.com, HagmannStore.com as well for some fantastic coffee. Going to be right back right after the top of the hour break. This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard they try, and they're trying. I want to welcome everyone to this segment of today's show. It is Tuesday, January 5th, the day before the 2021, the day before, of course, history is going to be made in Washington, D.C. You want to know, okay, if you, to those people watching this right now, and especially attention right wing watch, I'm talking to you, Kyle. I'm talking to Media Matters. I'm talking to all MSM out there. All right. This is something you cannot, absolutely cannot turn your back on or say it doesn't exist. Take a look at this picture. This was posted on Twitter earlier today. Look at this picture. Now, what do you see there? Oh, that's a bunch of cars, right? A bunch of cars and trucks and American flags and Trump flags. As far as the eye can see, guess where that's from? California. People are coming from every state in the union to make a stand in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. It's going to be historic, and the message is going to be clear. We are not going to accept fraudulent elections. We are not going to accept the fraud that exists in the Biden-Harris ticket. We are not going to hand or allow our executive branch to hand the keys over to a communist Chinese sellout, Manchurian candidate. People thought and people fought during the Obama regime. Hey, he was a Manchurian candidate. You're damn right he was a Manchurian candidate, but Biden makes him look like an amateur. Biden's been in office 47 years cultivating these Chinese relationships. Harris, too. Harris is even more of a radical communist. Her style is a little bit different. One is pee pads, one is knee pads. You do the math, but there it is. So tomorrow, as and folks, we are as much a part of this as anyone else. Okay, we weren't supportive of a couple of groups right now, and we're doing our part. We need you to do yours. Right now, the best thing you can do, and I know this, I know this is seems late. Call, email Vice President Pence, put the pressure on. Call, email every single congressman, every rep, every senator. Call, email your states, your state legislators, and say, especially in these seven key battleground states where the fraud is so prevalent that it's, you would either have to be a liar to yourself. You'd have to lie to yourself that, no, it doesn't exist. Widespread fraud doesn't exist. Or you'd have to be absolutely, by definition, an imbecile not to see this. And Brad Raffensperger from Georgia, you know, yesterday I played a audio tape of him thanking the Communist Chinese Party front people for assisting in getting him elected in 2015. Okay, this is where we're at. We have been, and I've said this many, many, many times before, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that America has become a captured operation. We've been captured from within. Folks, I can't stress this strong enough. America is being taken over from within. That picture, though, that you saw is our response. We are not going to take this. We're not going to take it. I'm going to take this opportunity very briefly to thank Eric the Tech for all he does. Eric the Tech does so much for so many other people. By the way, Americans for Honest Elections, if you go to AmericansForHonestElections.com, the link is going to be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. There it is right there. Meeting tomorrow morning at right there. You can just go to AmericansForHonestElections.com, click on the link, and see where that group is meeting. I have a special affinity, Eric and I both do, for that organization. And they're going to be this is going to be a strong showing from that organization. Americans for Honest Elections. There it is right there. And there's the map, 7 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to be in contact with them all day, as well as a couple of other groups. As I said, about 120, 140 strong. So, but this is a very historical week, and we are making history. But we're not going to turn the keys of this nation in the future of our children, the future of our grandchildren over. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen with me. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan, we started a little bit late. I want to thank you for your patience and, Happy New Year, my friend.
okay, Happy New Year. Good luck on that, but Happy New Year.
Good luck on that. That's right.
Boy, what a mess.
Hey, I love your office there. Huh? Yeah, look at that.
Well, new year, new office.
That's right.
How do you do it?
New
you
digs, know, right? Okay, all right.
But, oh, and, you know, I've still got this Hagman cup.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I got to get you a – I got to send you a this one here. I need the bean coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot that. You've got a new one.
Yeah.
It's got a nice big handle on it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, this is our – plus we've got a throwback with our dog King on it, too. But I'll get you fixed up. So anyway.
Hey, that's a good handle. You can use it in a bar fight. Crash.
Yeah, that or domestic, you know, depending on how things go. But
I think with the election like it is, it might be something as a bar fight or out the street fight. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, yeah, that's a nice – I see that now. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, boy, today, I need to start on something here.
All right.
You know, I've talked, you know, for many years now about Mohammed bin Salman and MBS and, you know, how Nostradamus had said the – Third Antichrist would be Mabus, you know, M-A-B-U-S.
Yep.
And Holly was listening to the radio the other night, some talk show. I think it might have been Coast, but there was a fellow on that. What was that guy's name?
It was Coast. It was John Hogue.
Yeah, John Hogue on Coast to Coast. And, of course, he deals in, you know, astrology and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't exactly call that a Christian prophet or anything at all. And when she told me that he mentioned that Mohammed bin Salman would be the Antichrist, the third Antichrist, you know, the alarm bells went off in my mind. I thought, holy cow, if the people that are not believers that are actually serving, you know, Satan's purpose, call him the Antichrist, I better rethink why I'm calling the Antichrist. And so in slide 43 on our show images page, if you click on it, it says Saudi Prince MBS tells U.S. evangelicals the world should focus on Iran, not him. Now, I don't know if the, you know, the way that I talked about him and put him up on our potential Antichrist page encouraged a lot of people to write him or talk about him on the internet, but obviously he's a bit irritated with all the attention he's getting. Now, I thought, all right, Satan tends to send the imposter before the real thing in the Bible. The imposter, world government, you know, which will be by his man, not by Jesus, and the imposter, Antichrist, I thought. Well, now, wait a minute. I've been talking about the flying saucers landing and appointing their guy, and I assumed it would be Mohammed bin Salman. But wait a minute. That's not the case. It may not be the case, because if the, you know, the astrologers and those kind of people are predicting that Mohammed bin Salman is the guy, and Satan's landing comes, you know, with the aliens, and they pick their own leader who will be the real Antichrist, he could take down Mohammed bin Salman and say to people, look, we've gotten rid of the Antichrist, you know, and prophecies fulfilled. Now, that would fool all of us who are, you know, evangelical Christians and believers, unless we weren't here. It's not possible to fool us if we're here. But I want to say this so that people who make a recording of this show and put it on flash drives or save it in computers for people who are going to be left behind, that the bringing down of Mohammed bin Salman, I think, may be a ruse by the real Antichrist, you know, setting up the world government at the time that we're talking about in the next few years, maybe in the next 3 years. Anyway, I just want to clarify that. I'm going to put some of that, you know, tomorrow onto the website on my Antichrist Potentials page. You see, he may be a false Antichrist that Satan is setting up to prove that his man is the real Messiah, getting rid of the Antichrist and that kind of stuff. So just wanted to say that, get people alerted to that so that we can pass this message to people that come behind us that stay here and are left behind after the rapture, that this is possibly a ruse. Just a thought.
Interesting. You know, you must be making a difference when you've got Iranian mullahs saying, hey, you know, stop the emails. Don't pay attention to me. Leave me alone. I'm surprised you haven't gotten a visit from, you know, anyway.
The MBS police?
Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
Well, no, yeah. He has some kind of a summer or winter ski resort home up here in Colorado, north of us.
They all do, it seems. I mean, what is it with, by the way, that's, I want to talk to you about that. What is it with your state?
Oh, it's definitely gone bad since the Californians moved in here in droves.
Eric just said, what is it with our state?
Holly, speak louder.
It's beautiful. You can be outside year round. The weather is fantastic. Who doesn't want to move here?
Yeah.
California case.
Yeah, Holly was telling me that apparently there's a joke on the internet about Texas Governor Abbott issuing a stay in place order, stay at home order. To California, so they don't come to California, to Texas. Yeah, they're just going to take over Texas. It's amazing. Here. Yeah. No matter which way the Georgia vote goes today, we're headed for, you know, maybe within 4 years or more or less, the destruction of America. There's just no question about it.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought the Georgia elections up, because I said in the first hour, and I know that people tune in just to hear you in the second hour. So, I mentioned this. President Trump went to Georgia yesterday. I thought he was absolutely on point, and I believe he really made the fraud case, which I think was his intent, his primary intent. Secondarily, of course, to support the Republican candidates. But here's my issue. When you talk about Georgia, you know, even if we win, do we really win? Because it was on, when was it? It was, November, 20th that, let me get it. November 12th of last year. President Trump signed an executive order banning dealings with 31 Chinese companies. Okay. And a subsequent order to, or a concurrent order to delist them from the New York Stock Exchange. Okay. Think about that, right? You do it. Executive order by the chief executive of the United States. You're the New York Stock Exchange. They say delist these 31 companies from, or however many of those 31 companies are on the New York Stock Exchange. You delist them. The owner of the New York Stock Exchange says, uh-uh. You know, that it's going to go in place. Your executive order that's going take effect on January 11th? No, we're not going to do that. Well, guess who the owner of the New York Stock Exchange is? It's the husband of Kelly Loeffler.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm coming to Colorado and living out there, enjoying your weather.
We do have a number of Republicans, and it's 60 degree weather here at the moment.
It's not. Come on, you're kidding. Are you serious?
Yeah, it is. We just checked the gauge. Holly was out washing windows today.
You don't want to know what it is here. It's like 24, you know, I don't know.
Hey, not to say that we haven't had some cold temperatures here. I mean, north of us here in Colorado, we had a minus 50 I don't know what they call it, a cold drop down, a cold sink occurred last week. So minus 50 didn't affect us, but it certainly affected that lake up there. Wow, that was cold.
Minus 50, yeah, it's a bit nipply out there. All right.
Nipply, right.
Oh,
right.
Did I say that? I'm sorry. Yeah.
That is, you did. Crass. It's kind of like that newscaster back in the 50s, which, you know, was black and white TV days. And he was looking, you know, giving the weather. And he had the window, the small studio, he had a window next to him so he could open up, see outside. He says, I'll just take a leak outside the window and see if it's raining. He did say that. And of course, in those days of much more reserved television, shall I say.
I got hairy legs.
Hey, what did he say?
I got hairy legs.
What? What?
I love Holly's laugh. What a gracious lady. Go ahead, do it again.
I got hairy legs.
I got hairy legs. That's Joe Biden. I got hairy legs.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh my gosh.
We've got a number of those sound clips that we sometimes break the tension with, but yeah.
Well, it caught me off guard. I was thinking I'm 1,000 miles away, still just musing over what may be Trump's last good rally while he's president to us, and we watched that detail last night. And
do you think, Stan, I showed a picture early at the top of the hour of I mean, people coming from California. Do you really think the American people are going to put up with giving the keys over to a communist Manchurian candidate, you know, and the partner, you know? I mean, I know.
Well, look, you know, there's been a lot of conjecture, at least in the conservative base, about if we don't retain the Senate and if President Trump is illegally kicked out of office by Biden, will there be a civil war? Will President Trump, you know, declare martial law and that kind of stuff? And because of that, I looked at in slide 45 at a the Hill report on this. 10 former defense secretaries call on the Pentagon to stay out of the election fight. Now, in the military, you're supposed to be apolitical, all that kind of stuff. But if there is to be martial law, and President Trump issues that and wants to try to use the military to quell riots and things, which may certainly occur, then how many of the military will follow him as the commander-in-chief at the moment, or, you know, if that date passes, the temporary commander-in-chief until they resolve who's going to be president? The secretaries of defense, I got to tell you, even though they're out of office, the more recent secretaries of defense who are still lucid are kept in the loop, still have security clearances, and are consulted on matters of defense. They don't just absolutely disappear into the civilian woodwork and all that kind of stuff. So if the current secretary of defense is compromised or killed or whatever, then the next one down the line that's been kept in the loop steps into the position, and he's been held in reserve and trained all along. So is the third and fourth one down the line. So it's probably a fact that most of you didn't know, but that's the secretaries of defense never quite retire. They're hiding in the background. As, you know, the presidents, I don't know that we'd ever call up an ex-president, but there's an order of succession already in the Constitution. But with the secretaries of defense, that's the issue. And 10 of our foremost who are living saying, don't buy into the military. Don't buy into supporting or not supporting the president in this Georgia election situation. For them to come out and say that on the Hill, it means there must be rumblings, you know, in the background that something is not right, you know, that there, you know, the president may actually use military to do something, or the military may move against him. I don't know. Something is not right on the Hill. So just bear that in mind. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah. You know, I think we are in the most historic time in American history. You know, I've spoken about the Battle of Athens, which Athens, McMinn County, Tennessee, in 1946, August 1 and 2. I've spoken about that where, you know, we had the return of our World War II veterans come back to a county that was just absolutely overrun by election fraud. And what they did was, you know, they wouldn't count the votes in the open. You know, they put the pizza boxes up on the windows. I'm making a funny here, but it's the comparison. And they counted votes in secret and stuff. And the guys just went to the armory, got some weapons, and because, you know, the current powers and sheriffs and said, no, you got to stay away. Well, no, we're not going to stay away. Got weapons, went in there and said, no, we're here. You're going to count the ballots in the open right now. And, you know, there was a little dust up there, but it was all taken care of. Where have the, I think back to the counting on election day. You know, if I was, and I'd probably, you know what, I probably wouldn't be here today talking because I'd be in jail. But if it was my job to watch, oversee the votes, and somebody said, no, you got to stand back, you know, 100 feet, I got to tell you, I wouldn't be standing back 100 feet. And the reason I said that is not, you know, boy, am I tough. But if everyone did that, if everyone said, no, this is unacceptable, I might as well go home. I mean, I might as well watch, you know, Seinfeld or something, reruns. I'm going to do my job. I mean, if everyone did that, we wouldn't have the problem that we had today, but we don't have enough. I know it just seems to me we don't have enough people to stand up, the people that count to stand up and say no. It's just, so I don't know what got me off on that, but.
You know, that reminds me, we talked about this on the show before about my dad in World War II. In 45, the war was technically over and, he was on a base, Army Air Force base in North Africa and, near Abadan. And he and his, British, co-occupiers of the base, there were two armies there, two Air Force groups there. And they were transporting aircraft all over North Africa and into Egypt and stuff like that as their job. When the war ended, they were, you know, de-enlisted. They no longer held commissions or a rank or a position in the U.S. Army Air Corps. And he was like those guys in the Athens thing. He and his fellow British compatriots, they were encouraged to stay as civilians, change their patches to non-American patches, and continue to operate the base as though it were a legitimate U.S. base to block the Russian communists from coming down into our oil fields at that time. Now, these guys had been at war for many years, well, you know, since the bombing of Hawaii there, of Pearl Harbor, but they wanted to go home. And so they were encouraged, not by the President of the United States, because he wanted them to come home, forget it. They were encouraged by Howard Hughes and a friend of his who sent money over every week in a black bag and an aircraft, you know, for TWA to land there at their base and pay them to stay as civilians to pretend that the U.S. was still occupying that area, even though it was not official, to hold back the Russian communists moving in at that time. That's not exactly voter fraud litigation, but it is something they did as civilians to do the right thing, you know, take the weapons, take the aircraft and defend that ground to keep bad, you know, evil from taking over at that time. And when Dad came back and his fellow soldiers and tried to tell their neighbors and friends about this, they got this kind of, oh, yeah, that's very interesting, Harold. Yeah, put some meat in the Barbie. Let's talk about the fun things. The war's over. And from that time forward, I mean, probably 10 or 15, 20, 30 years even, Dad was active with his brothers who both served as well, trying to alert the American public to the encroachment of communism in a very subtle way in their educational facilities and our governments. And here we are now at, in fact, you can read about that anyway on my website here with Holly. It's Stan's Corner up at the top, and you can see there there's a tribute to my dad, Harold S. Deo, and you can read about that Abedin operation, should you wish later. But
I love that story. And folks, those people who are new to this, especially on Rumble, on the platform, Stan and Holly Deo, they've got a very rich family history. Legends. They're legendary. And I'm not saying that lightly. Stan's Corner there, of course, both Stan and Holly Deo. And if to the new listeners and viewers, if you're saying, boy, that name rings a bell. Yeah. Coast to Coast AM, many years. And then of course the family lineage and the
Holly's,
heroes.
Holly's dad was a lieutenant colonel in the Army in the war too, as well. So both our dads were very instrumental in the war and dad in the post-war effort there.
You know, my father served in the Pacific Theater, and my uncle was shot but wounded in D-Day, so in the D-Day invasion. But so, you know, we've got wow, the bravery by the men at that time.
I know it was a different generation, certainly a good generation. Holly, what Holly's been talking to me about here, just a second, I'm just scanning down our page. Look at slide 42. It says, since it's February 2020, the high of 7.6 degrees centigrade. The satellite-based temperature of the global lower atmosphere has plunged by almost half a degree Celsius to just 0.27 above the baseline in September or December 2020. And what this means is if the average global temperature of the planet drops 2 degrees centigrade, and now it's 3/4 of 1 degree down since February of last year, if it does that, it could throw us into an ice age. And now you think, let's see, global warming, ice age. How do we resolve those two? And back in, 1995 with Art Bell, I was warning then about a change in the weather from the sun and its misbehavior, and certainly it is misbehaving now. And that was that there would be increased separation, disparate temperatures, where you would have parts of the planet that are all of a sudden in drought and horrific high temperatures, and other parts of the planet that are in rain and freezing snow. In slide 42, you can click on that link to that article, and what you see is a picture of the North Pole right now showing the ice in the seas, and it's interesting, and on land as well. We're going to see more violent winds, as I said on the Art Bell show in the 1995 show. We're going to see more violent hurricanes, and those are coming on land, more violent tornadoes. We're going to see drought and food famines caused by this extremes in the weather. So basically, global warming is a misnomer because it kind of, it should apply to maybe a particular continent or a portion of the planet, not to the whole planet, because definitely the polar regions creeping down into where we are now are experiencing this snow and rain and cold weather extremes. I think this will get much worse, and as the temperatures get colder in some parts and hotter in others, and we can debate what is causing that. But anyway, as these temperature things separate, they're going to create weather machines that are incredible. I mean, violent weather machines, and it's going to hit crops and all kinds of things. But it's a problem, and I have warned about it. And
look at our photo of the day.
Oh, okay. Holly says to look at our photo of the day. I was going to talk about this. And the photo of the day says Democrats will have a hard time selling their global warming agenda when global temperatures plunge 0.26 degrees centigrade in a month. The next ice age has just started. And on the website there, she's got a picture that I have at slide 41 I borrowed from her. And I joked about this telephone booth in Japan that's got 7 feet or more of snow piled on top of it, just, hanging there. And I said, this adds a new meaning to cold calls.
Well, actually, that picture could have been taken out my back deck last week. Okay. Since we're talking about Colorado and the, 60 degree weather today. We got, I don't know, Eric the Tech, we got like 3 feet, 2 feet. I don't know. It was a whole bunch of 3 feet at least on my deck.
Yeah, we got hit. I think it was 22 inches.
Yeah, at once.
Well, that's impressive. I hear you, and I see pictures of it. It's called snow, I think, wet stuff from the sky. But down where we live, we're in one of those drought zones. It's pretty dry here.
You don't get that much snow then where you're at. I guess.
We used to. When we moved in here in, 2001, the year before here in our neighborhood, they had 4 feet of snow, but it quickly reverted to normal and then subnormal, and we're really in subnormal wetness now.
Okay. This is all relevant to what we're talking about in a larger sense. So, okay. Wow.
Let's look at slide 40. Click on the picture first. You can click on the link to the article down underneath that in the text. But this is showing 400 years of sunspot observations and the NASA prediction for this current solar cycle 25. And you can see that they're predicting, the solar max, which is 4 or 5 years away now, will be as low as we've seen since 1800. And if it continues this way, it will be taking us into an ice age, like a Maunder minimum, the mini ice age of the 1600s to 1750, You can see that in the top graph. And you can see up there in the sunspot observations graph at the top, the modern minimum, as opposed to the modern minimum, shows that they're predicting that around 2040, it's going to start dropping drastically, the sunspot numbers, and peak down between 2050 and about 2100. Those are cold times. When we had a modern minimum before in the 1600s, the Thames River in London was so frozen, so such a thick layer for several years, that they were able to put up stalls, you know, selling their goods and wares on the actual river itself because the ice was just not going away. And that's cold. So we're seeing this potential in this graph here from these two sources.
So and, what, 10, 20 years roughly, right? 20 years.
Yeah, well, we're headed that way, you know, in this cycle. There's some strange things happening. It may surprise everybody what happens, because instead of creating a lack of sunspots, we may have some single sunspots that are so big and blow out such a huge amount of stuff that we have coronal mass ejections and, you know, EMP waves from the sun, that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's our current situation with crops and things like soy and stuff like that, corn, are at risk. Not only from, you know, political problems with China, but from the weather itself. And this is a major factor. People who have not prepared, you know, put away a spare food and things like that are going to get caught either having to pay high prices, extremely high prices for meats and things that depend on soy, you know, the animals, and they won't be able to pay it, or they won't be able to even pay that price and get product because it won't be on the shelves here. We're already starting to see hints of that in some of the more densely populated states here. Another reason, you know, to do, as Holly said in the Dare to Prepare book, get some of these things in, you know, if you can't do it all at once, get them in every paycheck, get more and more to have food, medicine, energy, home protection, that kind of stuff. Do it now. If you've been waiting and thinking, oh, this is a conspiracy theory, do it now. And tell your friends who haven't prepared that they better, because you don't intend to be, you know, the store for them. Anyway,
I do want to say that I think Dare to Prepare is the absolute, it's the encyclopedia. It's to me, it's the most recognized book about preparations. It's the most comprehensive and complete, written by Holly Dale. Folks, go to standale.com and grab yourself a copy. Just make sure to have two or three people help you carry it into the library. I'm kidding, but we were looking at it not too long ago. There was a specific reason, and, it's valuable. Dare to Prepare. We go to standale.com and order the book. Cosmic Conspiracy 2, as well as other books and DVDs at standale.com. They're all good. And I might as well take this opportunity too as well. You know, something I really think that everyone should be a part of, your Patreon community, become patrons, of Stan and Holly Dale. Sign up for their, Patreon. Support them. A man is on page one, a man is worthy of his hire. So, support them on Patreon, and the books are great as well. So, yeah.
Thank you for that commercial. Appreciate it.
Sure. And the other thing too, speaking of all this sun activity, EMP Shield, folks, do yourself a favor. EMPShield.com/Hagman. EMPShield.com/Hagman. You know, this is something so easy that you can do to protect your equipment in the event of a Carrington-like event. Or sunspot, or even a EMP man-made. At least your stuff will be protected. And when the grid becomes functional again, you're going to be not complaining that your stuff got fried. So there you have it. It's a great deal. EMPShield.com/Hagman. And three or more, you get an extra $50 off, I believe, right? 50?
You get 10%. Extra 10, EXTRA. Extra 10.
Okay.
It gives you an extra 10% off of the $50 per unit that your code gives them.
It's cool.
Win-win.
I love it. Yeah, go ahead.
While you're on that topic, you know, we've been having trouble putting in our 16-foot deep ground for our EMP shields here, for our solar and protection and home protection.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're sitting on shale, and it's very hard to pound copper rods into that. In fact, the end flattens out from the hammers. And so I had a chat with our solar people here. Apparently, by the National Electricity Code, you have to have not only your ground rod for your house, but the rebar layer in your concrete has to be a ground. And those things basically cover grounding from 8 foot deep, you know, and up to your ground level where your slab is. But we want deeper. And I found out that that code also says, and you have to have a third ground tie in your home to the water pipes. And that's because water pipes, you know, go out, drop into the, you know, probably 8 to 10 feet down, and the water in them, and it goes all the way to wherever they drop the water when it, or wherever they collect the water and shoot it into the pumps. So in essence, you can be grounded 8 to 10 feet in that and possibly deeper because of the wells and things they have along the way, you know, the catchment areas. I don't know for sure, but we've had ours tied to the water pipe. And so I'm saying to people, be sure that your electric code has provided for tying your ground that you're using for your home and your EMP shield to that, especially if you can't put in a 16-foot ground rod, which, you know, I wanted to do to get below the maximum penetration possible from an EMP bomb. From an EMP from the sun, you know, it's going to be everywhere. And I think that the water one will be the most important one at that point, the water pipe one. But I put that link in there to see, you can see what the regulations are for the National Electricity Commission and why I suggest that. Just extra grounding and hopefully extra depth.
Stan, this might be a tad off topic, but Eric the Tech volunteered to go pound the pipe down 16 feet. I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, you can't, I mean, is it that hard to get a pipe or a grounding pipe 16 feet into the ground? I mean, really?
No. It's a grounding rod, 5/8 inch diameter. And in many soil types, it's not because they have good, you know, soft soil on the top. But if you live in places like a couple of our clients have in rocky areas and like us in shale and rocky area, it's solid, you know, many, many feet down. We don't know how far, but it's difficult. When I put my ground rod in for the antennas at the back, I only put 8 feet in for the antenna. But I stood on a ladder and got those little electric hammer drills from Lowe's and an 8 foot copper rod and leaned on it and went, and it was down on the ground in less than a minute because that was right close to the bed that we set for our septic tanks, you know, the drain bed. It's very soft and there are plants growing there and the soil is moist. However, I suspect, like the electricians have told us, that this whole area where we are is on bad soil. And there are other people who have EMP shields on bad soil. So you want a water sink if you can. And the water pipe is the best thing. If you're on a property with a well, you need to drop a conductor down that well 16, 20 feet. You know, just you don't need to depend on the actual pump because a lot of it's plastic hose and stuff. But just drop a line down in that, and that becomes your ground.
Good advice.
That's best advice I can give.
Okay.
We've been getting feedback from people on the various issues trying to get their ground in. Still important, I think.
But, yes.
City groundwater may be an extra boost that we can count on. And there are fissures in hard, you know, scrabble and like, you know, hard rock and things in various places. They have fractures and fissures where local subterranean, you know, streams run. And, you know, with this 50 to 100,000 volt charge, you know, voltage coming down from the EMP pulse into your ground rod, it virtually makes everything conductive. I mean, it'll drive right down into the shale, you know, maybe 14 feet. So you need to have your ground below that a couple of feet at the, you know, maximum at the best benefit, and it will share the voltage that is dropped on it into the sides of it where you have the fissures of water and stuff in the formations. So it's going to be variable, you know, house to house, person to person, you know, and what, how these things in the homes work. But I'm just being upfront with you. I think that I should warn you that you need to get a good deep ground wherever you are, if you can. If you can't, then hook up to a water pipe.
Sage advice.
Yeah. Okay, good advice. End of lesson.
Nope. Do we?
Okay.
You're breaking up. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe a.
Oh, testing one.
Okay, there we go. All right.
Is it okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it is now.
Okay. Now, going back to the sun, slide 38. If you click on that slide, it takes you to space weather, but you need to go over in the archives there to the 4th of December and view that. I got the wrong day on there when I put it in. And it talks about a double filament eruption on the sun. Two explosions, they call them. Two dark filaments of magnetism erupted in the sun's southern hemisphere, you know, kind of faced away from the Earth. This was from NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory. It captures both of these. And you look at SDO, NASA, and you'll find that. And go down to the picture. They have a close-up of it. These are mighty big tubes of magnetism flipping out with solar plasma. These things are not normal, right? And they're saying that although they're small, and the arrival of the magnetic field and storm from it is going to hit today, well, tomorrow or the next day, because they're relatively slow. Anyway, keep an eye on those kind of things, because those affect, you know, the EMP situation on your homes and cars as well. Again, it is supporting the fact I'm saying the sun is entering an unstable phase, and seeing eruptions like this makes me think that the outer layer of the sun is thinning a bit. And, you know, over the last 4 weeks, we've seen examples of this with huge sunspot activities that one big sunspot, in essence, throws out stuff, you know, toward us in our wake, actually. When this is aimed at us, it's going to create a Carrington event if that happens. And so seeing this happen, even though it's not pointing at us right now, tells us keep an eye on the sun. I think it's going to surprise us. It may not follow the sunspot plot that NASA's putting there as far as numbers, but as far as area of sunspot, it's going to exceed what we've seen before. They normally just count sunspot numbers rather than sunspot area, and there's a difference. Mm. Anyway, have a look at that, and, you know.
Interesting.
We'll see. Now, the sun itself, if you look at slide 39, I've put in there four images. The top two are the sun as of today, earlier. And the one on the left shows the current, solar activity. It's not really a sunspot, but it's flaring hot. And if you look over to the right of that, we show the magnetic field lines that are coming out of that, which indicate that something is going around the backside of the sun. You can see that brilliance on the right side and the lines going that way. So I pull up the next image on there, which is, well, on that same image, but down the lower left-hand corner. It shows multiple images, different frequencies put together, showing me, okay, the blue dots are one polarity of magnetic field. So you can see two groups at the top, kind of toward the center, is a string of blues and some reds. And then down to the lower right of that, more, more intense blues and reds, telling you the magnetic field, fields that are forming that eruption surface there, which is where those dark filaments came from. So then I go over and I click on the green image there, which is it plots three quarters of the sun's surface. Because one quarter of the satellite was not working. It doesn't work anymore. But you can see on the right side of that green picture there, you can see bright spots. And those are what we see that emitted the dark lines today, or last 48 hours. And so you move back to the left and you see there is a group, not quite as bright as that, a group of a light area moving around the edge on the left side. And that will come into focus aimed at us in about 3 days. So right now, this huge group of sunspot activity, you know, flaring, whatever, that is just now going around to the right, we'll go around and we'll have a quiet sun, relatively speaking, if, you know, if this graph tells us anything, for about 3 weeks. But let's watch that and see. Okay, that's, you can look at that at your leisure and look at SDO and various other places to get those graphs. Okay. And along with this crazy weather in slide 37, New Zealand, North Island, had 1,686 lightning strikes in 2 hours. If you think you've had problems, try to weather a storm like that. Now, you may not be able to see the video, but you can read the article, because apparently New Zealand and Australia are putting up videos that that America is out of the view range, and so it tells you that it's not playable because you're out of the user area. So they limit it geographically for people in the south. Anyway, look at that and have a look at the scan down and have a look at the photo, and you see where the lightning strikes are. Now, why is this interesting? Well, there's a storm there for sure, and it stretches out from the upper left, North Island down to the lower right through Lake Taupo. Now, there is an electrical storm there, but understand that when you have plate tectonic pressures that are going to release earthquakes, sometimes you get lightning strikes because of the voltage that jumps between both sides of the fracture. And so I'm wondering if we're going to see, you know, a new fracture zone appear in North Island following all these red dots on this graph here. I mean, that's just a horrific amount of electricity, which you would expect when you get extreme plate tectonic pressures tearing apart. And that does happen in that area. So for people in New Zealand, keep an eye on the weather and the earthquake forecast from your GNS society there, or, office.
So there is a relationship between earth activity and weather and lightning.
Well, look, for years when I was down in Australia, we had, what we call the Min-Min lights, which was before earthquakes occurred in Queensland along the coast, the east coast there. Balls of light would pop up out of the ground and float around. And these are like ball lightning, but they're an electrical phenomenon. They're a lightning flash that didn't quite go to ground, so it popped into the air into a sphere of charge floating around. You would see that in California on the U.S. coast there along the San Andreas. There would be periodically times where a big earthquake would occur that you get reports of these ball lightning is what it is, floating around like that. Now, these lightning strikes down in North Island, New Zealand weren't ball lightning. But, when I was forecasting earthquakes back before 2005, using NASA data, I was able to see that there would be a voltage difference in the left and right sides of a fault line about to fracture. And that was due to the crystalline structure of the earth underneath that, and compressing produced piezoelectric charges, which, if they're high enough, would create local lightning, but mainly they were just ionizing the air and moving temperature from one side of the fault line to the other as a direct current flow in the air and the surface of the earth. So I know that electricity and magnetism, and hence the fault lines, all are linked together. There are variations in all those things.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting on the world situation in slide 49, the Defense Department has ordered the Nimitz carrier strike group back to the Middle East due to the threat of Iran. Now, Iran is intercepted, I forget which country it was, but they've intercepted an oil tanker just now and boarded it from a Middle Eastern country.
I saw that. They're poking the bear, right?
Yeah, they definitely are. They're daring us. And, we knew that the strike group was over there, but they're saying it's going to stay now. And if you look at slide 50, it says the Pentagon keeping aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf despite earlier announcements when they were thinking they would let it go on its normal rounds. They're now going to keep it there because it was just touching base. And it says, due to the recent threats issued by Iranian leaders against President Trump and other U.S. government officials, they have ordered the USS Nimitz to halt its routine redeployment, and they announced that on Sunday. It's going to remain on station in that area, which means they can launch missiles, aircraft, and all kinds of things against Iran. That'd be very close to Iran. Anyway, those things indicate to me that there are movements happening which may affect the presidency here. You know, if we have a war start, it's not a good time to be switching, you know, parties of rulership here in the country. It would put off the use of putting, you know, Biden in place if he does actually technically win. I hope that's not the case. We'll find out later this evening. But anyway.
I just can't envision this. We, by the way, we've got about 9 minutes left of the program, so it's, we're good, but the pallets of cash apparently were meaningless, right? I guess cash only buys us so much peace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to get
into that. That was ridiculous. And mentioning cash, the global economic situation is on a precarious balance at the moment.
Yes.
If you got money in the bank, you don't really own the money. The bank holds it and they can assume it if they need to in a time of crisis. If you got money in your safe, it may be valueless when they go to Bitcoin type of economy, which has been mentioned in the press. If you have gold and silver, they may fail in value because you may not be allowed to own it privately when the New World Order starts making changes. So it's a time to be figuring, well, how much of my resources that I've got in cash and, gold and things like that at the bank, how much of that do I now convert to things that I would normally buy with that in a time of crisis, like food, you know, and weapons and medicines and things like that. So it's a time to reevaluate the balance of your asset distribution because we are about to hit a really dramatic economic situation. Hey, speaking of dramatic, I'm sure you already talked about this, that SB 416 quarantine thing that New York put in, pre-issued into their, to their Senate, the Senate Bill 416.
Oh, I saw that, yes. New York Bill 416. Can you believe that?
I read the bill. And I've got a link there. It's slide 47. It says, read the bill yourself. You can pull it down and see this is not BS. This is not conspiracy. It's in the print there. And that's just for New York State, but it could easily spread across the country. And that says that you're going to a quarantine camp, whether they call it that or a prison camp, because you didn't get the shot, you aren't safe. They're going to remove you from the population. This, there it is in black and white. This is not conspiratorial. That's real. I just, wow.
Yeah, I posted, somebody had sent that to me from New York. I've got a close friend in New York. And when I read that, it's on HagmanReport.com as well and Standale.com as well. When I read that, I was just horrified by the information or by the draconian nature. Of this.
I thought surely this is a joke, you know, somebody that's just, you know, putting up false information, but no, it's true. It is true. We're seeing it right before our eyes. On our show images page on slide 48, you'll see a picture of a rabbi there, and he states in the article, one world government, a necessary evil for Messiah to prevail, mystical rabbi proclaims. Now, you know, they're looking for the Messiah. They haven't accepted, these aren't accepting Jesus as their Messiah. But they're saying that the one world order has got to come to pass so that when the Messiah comes, he's got a world order to rule. It's not the way I see, you know, the coming of our Messiah. But this is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, you know, of the old school that says, well, we'll take advantage, or our Messiah will take advantage of a world government which has been set up before he got here. It astounds me to see that.
Could you look, I know you were ahead of the curve even back in the, you know, 70s, but did you ever think you'd see this quickly?
Well, actually, when I first wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy in 78, I thought we might see it in the early 80s. And the 80s came and went, and it didn't happen. Then I thought, well, with a lot of other people, we're going to see it around the turn of the 21st century. No, it didn't happen. And I expected, among other things, you know, the alien presence to be, you know, revealed to the population, and that didn't happen. And now then, we're at, I think, what will be the last point, which I would say it's all happening now, and it's been a long time getting here. So, yeah, I knew it would come eventually, but I was hoping from the data we had that it was going to happen earlier.
Interesting. Yeah, it's almost like watching someone who's got a terminal illness, and then, you know, when they pass away, it's like, even though you knew that day was coming, it does shock your system and mentally, though. I mean, but just to see this, wow.
Well, like Jesus said, like birth pangs, you know, of a woman in labor.
Yeah.
The Braxton Hicks contractions come, you know, several weeks, sometimes months ahead of time, little contractions, and you think, oh, is that going to happen now? No. A few weeks go by. Oh, there's another one. Oh, is that now? And it's the muscles in her abdomen that are test firing to be sure they work when the big moment comes, and all the contraction muscles work and the child is born. And that's why he likened what is happening to us in the end times. You see a symptom, a convulsion, whatever in the world, and whether it be in weather, politics, economics, whatever, and you think, oh, this must be it. No, that's not it. Not strong enough. Now, we see all of the threats coming at once, all the threat curves, nuclear, famine, weather, financial collapse, threat of meteors striking. I mean, they're just so many crisis curves all coming to a head now. That's when the baby's born. In this essence, that's when the tribulation period is born. So,
with your permission, I'd like to ask you this one question. With all of Americans, and we have a monitor over in the other side of the studio that watching the goings on in D.C. And there's already just a ton of people, and a lot of people on their way to Washington D.C. Do you see this event tomorrow and today, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of the week, holding off, stoving off the onset of this, or won't it matter in your estimation?
I don't think it will matter, because looking at China and Russia and their current position against the United States, while we're weakened right now, and after the election results here, whichever way it goes, America will be a house divided, and it will be perfect time, as I've said in the last couple of shows with you, for the Chinese and Russians to attack us. And in this case, I think Iran would join them. If you read the news today about Iran threatening, you know, the United States over Soleimani's death a year ago, America's got to pay, Trump's got to pay, that kind of nonsense. That will see the collapse of the United States, and that must surely open up the tribulation period, because with that vacuum in world power, China, Russia, and some Middle Eastern nations are going to all be trying to grab, you know, a big chunk of the world power. So, yeah, I think it's on our doorstep.
Okay. All right. And that's a great assessment from someone I respect, and I appreciate that. You know, it's – folks, Stan Dale, if you haven't done so, we're just minutes away from the top of the hour here. StanDale.com is this website. Holly Dale does so much work for the website, the headlines. Please bookmark StanDale.com. Check out the headlines there, probably headlines of the day. And stop calling during the – no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love it, because it happens here too. It happens here. Become Patreon members. Support Stan and Holly Dale, as well as the books Cosmic Conspiracy and Dare to Prepare, and other works as well. But I want to thank you, Stan, for – being with us. You know, I don't know, what is this, year five or something? It's been just a great, it's just been great having you on every week. It's just fun. I look forward to our time together.
It is. It's like a fireside chat between us, trying to call on the current issues that people should be aware of, especially Christian folks, but also people who need to see the need.
Yes. Yes. Well, again, I got a lot of respect for you, and I hope you did have a great new year, and I'm looking forward to, working with you throughout the remainder of 2021, as long as we're on this this earthly plane.
Hold the line.
Hold the line. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, Holly. Folks, that'll do it. The Hagmann Report for today. This is the first Tuesday of 2021. Tune in. just keep close to the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com for updates about what's taking place in Washington, D.C. HagmanStore.com for great coffee. Have a great night. See you.